So I've had the opportunity to be in many situations where people have been in conflict with one another. For one reason or another, this has kind of become my specialty of dealing with conflict and hopefully walking through people a process of reconciliation. I've done this with married couples, individuals. For 8 years, when I was in the district office, that was one of my primary jobs. I would be the one who would show up and help walk them through a process because they're in a conflict, to hopefully help them to be reconciled with one another. I've also had the opportunity to teach about reconciliation a lot as well. I've had the opportunity, some of our, what we call district reconcilers that every district has, have had the opportunity to help train and teach them how to do what the Synod is asking them to do, conferences, workshops. And many times, you know, when we talk about reconciliation, when we talk about conflict or sin, we talk about it in terms of someone has sinned against us. And how can I forgive them for what they have done? And it is a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing to try to forgive someone else who has terribly sinned against you in however the way that they have sinned against you. But often when I do some of these conferences or workshops, when I present, I'll have people who will come up to me and they'll say, I have forgiven so-and-so for this. You know, it wasn't easy to do, but that's a lot easier for me to do than to forgive myself. In other words, there's some people who struggle a lot with forgiving themselves for what they have done and the sin that they have committed against other people. So, for example, not his real name, but this guy comes up to me, we'll call him Bill. He says, thanks for the presentation. You know, I've struggled with, of course, forgiving other people, but I've always been able to come to the point of being able to do that. But the thing that is really bothersome to me, and I just can't get over, is forgiving myself for what I have done. He says, a few years ago, I had an affair. I committed adultery. My wife, of course, was not happy about it. Our marriage was on the edge, and I really thought that we'd end up separated and divorced. But we went to counseling, we went to our pastor, we got help and assistance. And he says, I still don't understand this, but my wife has forgiven me for what I have done, and she's not using it against me, and we are still married to this day. And it's wonderful, and it's great. But he says, I can't forgive myself for what I have done. I have tried. I've tried all kinds of things, he says. I've gone to more therapy, more counseling. I've talked to friends. I've talked to this person, that person. I've tried. And I still cannot forgive myself for how I sinned against her and how I did something that really was going to destroy our marriage and our family. So I said to him, I said, so how will you know when you have forgiven yourself? He said, well, no one's ever asked me that before. How will I know when I have forgiven myself? Yeah, how are you going to know? How are you going to know when you've actually got to the point of being able to forgive yourself for what you have done? He says, well, I suppose I won't think about it anymore. I said, okay. So if I understand what you're telling me is that when you no longer think about it, when you can forget and no longer have any memory of having the affair, then that means you have forgiven yourself for what sin you have committed. He says, that's right. Well, isn't that what the Bible says? That we are to forgive and to forget. So, right, that's what I'm trying to do. But you see, this is the problem, is that he's never going to forget what he did. And the more he tries to forget it, the more he tries not to think about it, he's going to think about it even more. And he's going to be in his mind, and it's going to be in his dreams. And the more he tries not to think about it and not to remember it, he's going to remember it. How do I know this? because I have some degrees in psychology and they've done some research on this. And if you tell someone not to think about something or not to remember it, guess what? They're going to think and remember that all the time. And if you have kids, this is great with kids. You tell them not to look at something and all of a sudden they start looking at it and they can't stop looking at it. I mean, just think for a moment about your shoes. What color your shoes are, if they're tie shoes, slip-on shoes. Maybe someone's not wearing shoes at all amongst us. Some people listening online may be sitting there with no shoes on. I just want you to think about that. And you see, you're probably going to start thinking about that now through the rest of my sermon in chapel. And you may even start thinking about the rest of today, about your shoes and what they look like and how people may judge you because of the kind of shoes that you're wearing. So the idea that we have to forget it, and that means once we have forgotten it, that it is forgiven, really doesn't pan out, because now he is spending his whole life trying to forget and take this thing out of his mind so that he no longer has to be reminded of it, and he'll know that he has forgiven himself, you see, if that has happened, if that has taken place. So we struggle with this. You know, in a way, if we look at the text for today, Joseph's brothers, I think, are struggling with a similar thing. So you probably all know the story. You know, Joseph was the favorite. He had this wonderful coat he wore. He went out to see his brothers. They took off the coat. They tore it up, put some animal blood on it so they could go back and tell their father that his son had been destroyed and killed by a ferocious animal. They sell Joseph into slavery. So they commit all these sins, right? And they thought that they would never see him again. Well, the famine comes, they're looking for food, and while they're looking for food, they run into their brother. Who would have ever thought that they would intersect again their paths, and yet here they are. And so this is going back to chapter 45, okay? So 45, starting at verse 4, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come close to me.' And when they had done so, he said, 'I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you.'" And then we're told he goes on that he hugs them, he embraces them, he kisses them. He doesn't use this against them. He forgives them. He restores them. But it seems as if the brothers themselves are still worried about their actions and their sinful behavior against their brother. So now we go to, skip a few chapters here, to chapter 50. And the father of the brothers has died, right? And so the brothers now are worried that because dad's dead, that Joseph is going to use this as an opportunity now to get back at them. And notice how Joseph responds to them, almost pretty similar to how he does it in chapter 45. He says to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done in the saving of many lives." So he reminds them again, and he tells them again, "I'm not going to use this against you. Even though father has died, I'm still not going to use this, take advantage of this situation, and somehow throw you in the prison or whatever he could possibly do." No, he's forgiving them, and he tells them that again, that he's not using this against them. But for them, it was kind of hard to take. Now, whether or not they would have put it in terms of it was difficult to forgive themselves or not, I'm unsure of. But it was something that still they were reminded of, and it kept bringing back to thought in their mind. Well, Bill had the same thing going on for him. And his wife had to be gracious and merciful to him as well and tell him many times that she had forgiven him, because he really wasn't believing the forgiveness that was being spoken to him, because he felt that somehow he needed to do something in order that he could forgive himself. And he was standing there in front of me, and he was wrestling with this, and he was struggling with this. He says, "If only I could forgive myself." And I said, "Well, I don't think you're ever going to be able to forgive yourself. because there's nothing that you can do that will forgive the sin in which you have committed. Your sin can only be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the problem is you're trying to forgive yourself rather than relying upon God, who has already done what is needed to bring you this forgiveness. And I said to him, I said, so I want you to open up your Bible, I said, to Romans. Go to Romans 8, chapter 1. And I asked him, I said, I want you to read this out loud. And so he does. And so he reads it. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. And I said to him, let me personalize this for you, all right? I said, Bill, there is no condemnation for you. You are not going to be condemned because of this sin, because you are in Christ. You are a baptized child of God. And yes, what you did was sinful, but there's nothing that you can do to forgive yourself. God has already provided a way for this. And he has done that through his son, Jesus Christ. Your sin is forgiven because of what Jesus did. And his blood is what covers you and covers those sins. And you know what? You probably are going to remember having the affair. The goal should not be to stop thinking about it or to forget about it, because now you get fixated upon that and there's nothing you can do with that. You have no control over that. But what you can do now is you can think about that affair and that sin differently. See, now, instead of thinking of it as something you did so bad, you sinned so bad, and you can't forgive yourself, now this is how I want you to think about it. That sin of having the affair has been forgiven because of Jesus. And you see, there may be things that you struggle with, your own sins, things that you have done against other people, whatever that may be. And you may even have found yourself saying, I can't forgive myself. But be assured, there's no condemnation for you because you are in Christ. And Christ has already done what is needed in order for you to be forgiven. And whatever that sin is that haunts your dreams and haunts your thoughts during the day, whatever it may be, you're not probably going to forget it, but you can remember it differently. You can remember it now as a sin that has been forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to end with Psalm 103, the first five verses. That gives us this hope and this comfort of the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that is in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, all my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Please stand for the hymn.